Watch what crap bins. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, little Ben.
How's it going today? How you feeling?
Everything's great. How are you? Nice and raging Kelly Dodd episode of Real Housewives of Orange County to get to.
At long last, after 16 seasons, political discourse arrives at Orange County, and it's just as bad as you would imagine.
It's just as horrifying as you'd think, everybody.
Yeah. It was sort of a trying episode. It was not, I would not say it was the most lively and fun episode at all. But there was a paddleboard, so.
There was a paddleboard. And, you know, you got to hand it to Bravo. Like, we complain and all that because that's what we like to do. I mean, that's resting complain face, you know, but God bless them for just chugging right along during the pandemic and doing just getting shit out there no matter what.
Two of the cast members literally have coronavirus and they're like, whatever, we're doing a cast vacation with four women in the mountains. Yep. We're just gonna make this
happen.
They're
like, there are two queens who need this. Okay, let's do it for Ronnie and Ben.
Yeah,
get out there, get on your paddleboard.
I mean, listen, you know, they've done an admirable job trying to put together a season with this mess. And you know what? We'll just get through. We're all going to get through it together. And also, I got to give a big thanks to my hypochondria, which really has done a great job of flaring up every time there's a Shannon and Emily scene. I have to say just thank you. Thank you, inner psychosis, for making me believe I have all the ailments all at once. Thank you. Just giving a shout out to my brain.
I'm so the opposite. I would never even know. I probably already had it, not even known. Yeah. I probably just figured I was depressed and tired. Like, sleeping all day for days is like not that far from my reality, so
yeah, you know. Well, I mean, I have allergies or something, so it's like making me I have a very light cough, which also may be purely psychosomatic. And I know what everyone's thinking, well, maybe you might have it. Well, Dom, he was on a production like a week ago and he got tested like three times and he was negative. And if I had it, cause I've had this like light cough for like 3 weeks, which is, by the way, tracks. I am like Shannon Madore, by the way. This is what happens. Anytime I get like, if I cough once, I then cough for the next 4 weeks. That's just what my lungs do. It's fine. So I know I don't have it because, you know, Dom has gotten tested a million times, but that being said, every time I cough and I'm watching Shannon Madore, I'm like, not only do I have it, I have the worst strain in the history of the world. I believe I have the worst strain. I've got all the coughing diseases right now. So I'm like, oh God.
Well, I vape and I don't smell very well. Well, I don't smell very good, probably just because I haven't been taking that many showers. But also, I don't have a great sense of smell, and I sleep all the time. So, like, I basically always have it in some way. So I don't know. I always cough. So yeah, who knows?
That's, by the way, before the pandemic, I just would cough in general. I would just cough.
Yeah. So here we go. Okay. So now here we are with the Real Housewives of Orange County.
New hip. So Kelly and Emily are Zooming because.
Can you see me?
So it's 2 days before this trip to Lake Arrowhead. And Emily's like, well, I can't go on the trip because I tested positive for COVID. And Kelly goes, you did?
Shut the front door. And she's smiling the whole time.
She's like literally laughing. She's just like, okay, crazy person.
She's like, well, I just have a headache and a fever and Oreo crumbs beside my bed. But those are, so far, those are like the only side effects I'm seeing.
And she's like, well, you know, oh, sorry. Emily's like, well, you know, I tried to live life, but take all the precautions. And then I ended up getting it. And I don't even know where. It makes me really mad. And now Shane doesn't feel well today. And we see like 3 hours earlier, Shane's like, the poor guy is about to have like the worst episode of his life.
Yeah. And
Kelly goes,
Kelly's like, oh my God.
And then she goes,
Elizabeth is scared that everyone has it. And she's like, it's just a lot mentally.
And she goes, well, I hope you feel better. And she just like laughs.
Yeah. God. So she's like, well, if it gets real wild and crazy on that trip, you better FaceTime me.
So that way I can bring down the mood of everyone.
And then we see Orange County, clips of Orange County, and close up on a sign that says, please be smart and stay 6 feet apart when you play cornhole. Because then we see people on the beach playing cornhole.
Yeah. Classic Orange County activity. Social distance cornhole. Which is, by the way, kind of social distance already, inherently. A little bit. At least for the teams. So then...
except that it involves your cornhole.
That's true, too. And touching beanbags. Although that's not really an issue. So now we go over to Sean and Bronwyn. And Bronwyn has never been to Lake Arrowhead. And at least not that she remembers. And she's just nervous because she's going to be in a house on a party trip with women who like to drink a lot. And it's going to be weird because Emily and Shannon can't go either. So,
yeah. And she's taking her own car so she can just jet if it gets too much to be too much for her, which is wise. So everybody's getting ready and going on the trip. Elizabeth speeds off in her car and Sean kisses Bronwyn goodbye. And Bronwyn tells Sean, if I call, you better pick up that phone in case I have a breakdown.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'll do that, honey.
Is there any person in the world more exhausted than Sean?
Oh, God, I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad. Listen, I've actually been very pro Bronwyn in terms of like, I think that her journey has been very real, and I'm applauding her for just putting it all out there. And I think that what she's going through is probably very, very difficult. And I applaud her for doing all of this. But that being said, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get a little exhausted by it. Like it's tough. It's tough.
It's a lot. It's a lot at all.
It's a lot. She's basically. We've said this before. She's basically in that teenage phase of like you know when you're a teenager and you start to realize certain things about yourself and you start to be like, wah, I'm a teenager. And she's sort of like having that. It happens to us gay men when we come out of the closet too. We have like a teenage period of coming out of the closet, which she, I imagine, is going through right now in real life. But she's sort of in like a teenage phase with everything right now. And she just feels things really intensely and emotes things really intensely. And I'm happy for her that she can do that. But I also feel so bad for Sean. So bad.
Yeah, geez, Sean, my God. So then we go to the Arrowhead Villas, and Kelly's the first to get there. And there's a big hand sanitizer squirt thing out there. So she squirts it on her hand. She just, gross. Reminds me of Rick squirting.
This is what I do with Rick. This is how I do with Rick. We do it all the time.
So she squirts it on her hand and then doesn't really know what to do with it. It just kind of like shakes her hand. So she shakes it off. It's like, come on, Kelly. Come on.
At least she was wearing a mask. Like,
you can't even pretend to put on hand sanitizer. Yeah.
Dude, this place is spectacular. She's like walking around. It's amazing. It is amazing. And so, she's like already showing Gina on like FaceTime, like, dude, this place is amazing. You gotta bring your kids. You gotta come. Wow. Oh, it feels like Camp Crystal Lake. Now, why would you recommend your kids to bring your kids to Camp Crystal Lake? That's the worst Yelp recommendation of all time, Kelly.
Well, that's who gets killed in Camp Crystal Lake. They're all the youths.
The youths.
So then we go over to John's house.
Yeah, we go to John's house. Is that right? Because that's where Shannon's being held up like she's Natasha Henstrick in Species, like in the behind the glass door. And so Bronwyn has to go all the way to the back in like the janky backyard. And she has to talk to Shannon through the glass, and she's like, well, I'm still a bit achy, even though I have not actually tested positive, and all three of my kids are positive, and I have to be here, I have to isolate away from the girls, it's what I have to do, it's what I have to do.
Yeah, I've had 3 negative tests.
How many people were waiting for tests at this time, by the way?
I don't know.
So she's like, well, I'm worried about my kids being alone, but what can I do? I've chosen my boyfriend over my children, which is what he was supposed to do in the first place.
So Bronwyn's like, I have one of those pulse oximeter things. Do you want me to send Sean over there so he can check their oxygen?
I would like that very much, please. Thank you. And if he could send some salmon filled with cream cheese over to me, I would like that. I have not had access to my daily meat since early March, and I'm starting to lose it a little bit, just a little bit.
It's Lamb Wednesday, and guess who doesn't have fresh lamb? It's me!
Lamb Wednesday is always the high point of the week, but these days, it's sort of a sad point. It reminds me of how many lambs we don't have right now. Please send the lamb. Send the lamb for Lamb Wednesday.
How many lambs are in the world feeling like they've just been living too long?
If you don't have Lamb Wednesday, those lambs turn into sheep. And you can't have Sheep Wednesday. It's not the same.
But the kids just don't understand how many people this damages, and it trickles down. And now my frustration of not going to Lake Arrowhead is turning into shit. What if I have it?
Yeah. So now Kelly is FaceTiming Rick, and she's like, "Look how bomb this is! Look, there's a Purell thing outside that reminds me of you. Yeah, it squirts everywhere, Rick."
How's your first day at work? You know everyone, right? It's like comfortable already. Like, Kelly's that kind of person. He's like, how was your day? It was great, right? Oh, good. Okay, well, here's how my...
He's like, yeah, I'm getting used to everything over here. It's just sort of, it's interesting over here. He's like, yeah!
Rick has finally moved to the OC. His job moved here permanently. I couldn't have found a better man, a better match, a better... anything. I'm out of better things, but he's great. He's everything I dreamed of. We fuck all the time.
Sometimes I go into museums and I say, if this were in a museum, we'd be fucking all over it, you know?
So Elizabeth comes, like, wow, look at this place. What a place. Am I right? Oh, look at all this luggage. You've got luggage. I've got luggage. So much luggage. What a gorgeous place. Oh, there's the master bedroom. Who's going to have the master bedroom? Oh, my God. Let's give it to Gina. She needs it. Oh, look at that. Look outside of that lake. It's all artists up here. That's why I love it. Like, what does that mean? It's like just people rowing on a lake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, it's all artists up here. They all come here. They all came from the Renaissance. They got into a time machine. They flew here to Lake Arrowhead. They said, this will be the new Renaissance here. Yeah, that's where I like it up here.
Well, I've been so sick. I brought protein powder. I brought my stomach formula. I brought apple cider vinegar with the mother. I brought probiotics. It's like, are you turning into an old lady or what?
I just like that Kelly... will lug all these supplements and probiotics to Lake Arrowhead, but she is like against wearing a mask. Like, I don't understand that. Although she wore a mask today, she did wear a mask on camera.
She's turning into Shannon, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she's,
you know, when you're young and your mom tells you you are the people you hang out with. I always thought that's so stupid. Like, who cares? I can have all different kinds of friends. But then you realize you do kind of become your friends after a while.
Yeah. So so now they are talking about Bronwyn and how she was snooping on Elizabeth, etc. And Elizabeth is like, I mean, you can't tell the world you're into lifting everyone up, but then you're digging up something on someone else and trying to make them look bad. You know what I'm saying?
And here's Gina.
Oh, Gina's like, yeah, I want to get on the plane. Let's go to Vegas. Like, how the fuck don't you have it?
Emily doesn't leave the house and she got it. And Kelly's going all over the place and she doesn't got it. You know, I'm worried about Shannon.
She's vulnerable.
I know everyone puts the thing on Shannon that she's overdramatic. But if there's ever a time to be overdramatic, this is it. Did anyone hear that she missed Lamb Wednesday?
And then Elizabeth is like, well, listen, she might be missing out on Lamb Wednesday, but we're not missing out on some cocktails. It's cocktails o'clock, okay? Bronwyn's not staying with us.
So then Bronwyn's in her minivan outside, and she's talking to Sean. She's like, I'm pulling in to Elizabeth. It's actually hilarious. Just entered Bizarro World. I was like, can Sean just have a moment?
Yeah.
Can you just leave Sean alone, okay?
He literally does not need play-by-play from your tom-tom, okay? Just... get there. So, yeah, so they're making cocktails, and then they're, and then they start looking at a video of Bronwyn at a pool with no mask on, you know, and Kelly's like, see, she just told me not to go out and do anything, and look, look, what a hypocrite. Pot, pot, kettle, kettle, kettle black, kettle, pot, pot, I'm gonna fuck Rick in a pot.
Kettle black. It's like this show where this kettle looks like all these other kettles. And they don't know if they're brothers and sisters or what, but they all have slightly different hair.
Yeah, and then Rick and I will fuck while we watch it.
But this videotape is pretty damning. It's Bronwyn. It's, first of all, some guy taking the video on his iPhone. He's like, yeah, yeah, look over there. That's Bronwyn right there. You see, see her in the back. It's probably Vicky.
Yeah.
You know? And you see her there. You see her elbow there. And Bronwyn's standing in a bikini. And they're all, you know, they're talking to people at the, it looks like the country club pool or whatever. And Kelly's like, but she just told me I can't do anything. Ah, kettle black. So Bronwyn comes in while they're still talking about it. And Elizabeth's like, keep watching, keep watching. This part's real good. And then Bronwyn comes in. And they're like, hi.
So Bronwyn's telling us, you know, I've been living in a very safe little bubble. You know, I have my family. I have an alcohol-free home. And there are bottles everywhere here, everywhere. It's just, it's hard seeing these triggers. And I'm not sure I should have come. Also, I can already tell it's going to be a very boring weekend. Why did I come up here?
And Kelly's like, oh, Bronwyn, remember when I was talking to you about doing the Delphi riot? Is it the Delphi riot? Is that what she said? That's what I wrote. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I just said that Kelly confronts
I was going to do the Delphi riot. Delphi Ryder, and you said I had to social distance? Well, she got a video of someone stalking you that day, and you were social distancing!
And Bronwyn's like, I called you after I found out I couldn't do that. I found that's an after call from before video. That's what happened, okay? Here's the thing with Kelly. She takes the truth, and she skews it, and she says it loud, and she says it often, and then she hopes people believe it, okay?
Well, I didn't know. She goes, yeah, well, I didn't know either. It's like, dun, dun, dun.
So then Gina starts talking about Shannon. She's like, oh my God, Shannon's got coronavirus and now they're keeping her in a glass cube in John's house. And you know what? Like, I'm just like, she's so scared about it, but then John and the kids are going in and out and in and out. Now the kids have it, you know? And I just feel bad. That's how I feel. I feel bad, you know? And I don't want to go to your house because you're crying about it, but you got it. And then Bronwyn just like walks away. And she's like, was it something that we said? Was it something we said? But Bronwyn's now doing this thing, like, selective, niceness, selective virtue.
Yeah, she's like, well, I just don't want to talk behind her back when she's sick. I mean, that really feels gross. Oh, please. You've just been digging up information on someone on the internet and slamming her online and calling her a fraud. Give me a fucking break.
You're literally on a show about talking behind people's back. Like, that's what this is about.
Yes. And Kelly's like, well, I mean, I'm not talking bad about her. God, what's wrong with Bronwyn? And Elizabeth goes, she's always got fucking problems, that one. So then she tells us, the fact that she doesn't want to talk about Shannon is hypocritical. Wasn't she just talking behind my back, trying to make me look bad?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Good luck.
They're like, I think it was Elizabeth's like, well, who's going to pull the stick out of Bronwyn's ass? And she was like, that's not COVID approved, okay? Gather.
So then back at Shannon and John, she's like, oh, sweetie, I have to take this antibiotic first. Oh, let me just take it. Oh, God. He's like, can you just relax? Just relax, please.
I am creating a coronavirus immunity wall. All in all, it's just a... another vitamin in the wall.
Build a wall. Just kidding. It's like a political episode. An immunity wall. That's what I meant. Why is everyone so mad at me?
Just building an immunity wall while singing Pink Floyd. Why can't I do that? We don't need no coronavirus. Anyone? Anyone else want to sing along? I need my Lamb Wednesday back.
So over at Shannon's house, Sophie is making a little video, home video. And she's like, it's day 4 of quarantine. I made a quarantine countdown because I'm really, really bored. Adeline's baking. She made peanut butter bars. We're having a great time. We miss our mom.
We did luckily manage to make ourselves some lamb chops, which is wonderful. You guys got Wednesday lamb? I mean.
So at the house, Bronwyn is texting on the couch, like all furious, you know. And man, when Bronwyn's mad, you can tell she's mad. She has like fury face.
Yeah. No, she's totally like, it's totally like, you know, in high school where like everyone's has come over Friday night, and then like that one friend comes over and she's like, I'm just going through a lot, guys. And then like no one can like have fun. And you're like,
Yeah, you can't have fun until you've gone and talked to her, and then everybody has made it all about her for at least 2 hours while she cries and has a fit.
And even though what she may be going through is legitimately serious, you're at the same time, you're like, but we are here to have fun, though.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Gina sits with her. She's like, what is going on with you? And she's like, well, I just don't feel okay talking about someone behind their back when they're not here. I mean, you know what? It's about something she said. I just don't want to talk about it, Gina. And Kelly's like, oh, well, you didn't say that when Tamara and everyone else was talking about me. You didn't tell them to shut up. You're a hypocrite.
And we get a flashback to the famous train dinner. It's like I heard she's doing a train. So, yeah, Kelly's like, stop being fake. Stop being fake. So Bronwyn's like, well, I don't know why Kelly's mad at me. I don't know what's going on with that. And Gina's like, well, I think that you shouldn't be digging up stuff on Elizabeth. I think that's what's happening here. I think that's coming to the light.
And Bronwyn's like, well, I've just learned so much about her. I mean, there's so much that just does not add up with that girl. Which, by the way, Elizabeth is not there to hear this. I'd just like to point that out. So then we go to Kelly and Elizabeth, who are up in a bedroom talking. And Elizabeth's like, what's up with her unbelievable hypocritical behavior? That's my review from Frank Rich of the New York Times.
It feels like Elizabeth should be launching into a song. Unbelievable, hypocritical, arsenical, vicalitical. Hit it, boss. She's a low-life talking hypocrite. Pretty in the Arrowhead.
We got trouble right here in Lake City.
What sort of trouble, ma'am? The kind of trouble that you might call hypocritical. In Arrowhead, they speak the truth. But when you're Bronwyn Windenburg, you speak the roof off the house because you're a hypocrite and you can't believe any word that's shit.
Unbelievable, hypocritical, bum, 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 bum. Learned that in cabaret back in the day. And Kelly's like, well, she's trying to make us look bad, so she looks good, and she's doing all these things to uphold her image. And Elizabeth's like, well, she's 100% a puppet poster.
Oh, puppet poster. I thought puppy poster is what she said, so I was thinking like lost puppy or something like that, and I was like, what?
She just posts lost puppies to look cool on Instagram. She doesn't care about those lost puppies.
Unbelievable. Hypocritical. Puppet poster.
So she's like, I want to know the real Bronwyn, because we see pictures of Bronwyn's Instagram, which is her and the kids at the Black Lives Matter protests and stuff. And she's like, well, I just want to know the real Bronwyn. I don't want to know the facade of an Insta, which is good, by the way. I mean, it's real good, but, you know, still. And Kelly's like, yeah, I mean, go to the protest, but don't have a professional photog with you.
Yeah, that was, by the way, so cool that she called it a photog. And then we see that Bronwyn did have a professional photographer taking, like, she's, like, posing at the protest, and there's, like, it, like, signed, like, Janice Plots photography or something, you know? I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of a bad look.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, well, if you're real, you don't have a pro photog there. I mean, that defeats the purpose of the protest. I mean, it really doesn't.
It doesn't really. It just it defeats really the purpose of...
The protests weren't really about professional photography at all, Kelly, but thanks.
Yeah, it maybe undermines the credibility of Bronwyn's intention. I don't even think it does that much, but it's just sort of one of those things where it's like, oh, you're making it... You're kind of like... making it about you a little bit instead of the movement. happens.
Yeah, and she's like, well, now she's going to be a Debbie Downer. Let's scare her. Look, I'm Vicky. She's brought these masks.
Yeah.
She's like the worst. She's got one that's a pig that's bleeding. Okay, so she's the bloody piggy. She's like, I'm Vicky.
And I'm Bronwyn. I'm two-faced. Because she has like a clown thing on. And I feel like the producers told Kelly, okay, Kelly, when we for this trip, we want to shoot a scene where you startle Bronwyn. So if you get something to startle her, and they're thinking that she's going to bring like a little snake or a spider, like every other Housewives trip, like Potomac a few weeks ago. And she's like, okay, great. And she just brings these like horrifying, terrifying masks. I'm like, that's just scary.
So then Shannon is on her family FaceTime. From John's house. And she's like, all right, kids, we are going to get another test today, and it takes 3 days to hear, so we'll know in 3 days.
We're going
to
know in 3 days if we can reunite, and fingers crossed, I've also put in an order with Costco so we could have Lamb Wednesday again. Mom, we already just had lamb. God, I forgot about that.
All right, so here's what you need to do. Go through the refrigerator, look at expiration dates, throw things that are beyond the expiration date out. Then I want you to look for meat. Look for meat. Then go into the freezer and look for meat in the freezer. Look for meat in the freezer.
If you find the lamb, start thawing it now.
What is Shannon's deal with meat? What the hell?
She's obsessed with meat now. Like, I never would have thought
frozen
she
meat, fresh meat, meat every day.
Her daily meat delivery. I mean...
And one of the kids goes, well, I think we should get OJ at the store. She goes, no, that is not good for phlegm. I mean, if we were just more careful kids, how do you think you guys got it? What symptoms do you have? Who has it the worst? Raise your hand if you've got corona.
Oh my gosh, you're stressing the whole fucking world out right now.
I know.
Now,
and so the girls are like, well, we're all achy and, you know, I can't smell. I was like, do you have a fever? Are you weak? Do you have diarrhea? Please, Sophie, please tell America, do you have diarrhea right now? I understand you're a teenage girl and these things are sensitive, but please tell me. I need to know, do you have diarrhea? 30 to 40.
Why are you smiling, Stella? Why?
And she's like, God, you do this all the time, mother.
I know. And Sophie's like, well, I mean, recently I've had diarrhea. Well, why didn't you tell me? Because I'll give you things to help. Like, I don't know, lamb bones, lamb stew, ground lamb. Those things all help. They all help.
Have your father stick his thumb up your butt. That could be psychological debris, which I suffered from in my first season.
They're like, well, honestly, we were terrified to tell you because we know how crazy you get.
Me crazy? Well, let me tell you something. If you even have a cold, you tell me so that I have a choice to stay away. I mean, am I crazy? Suddenly I'm crazy? How many times can I flap my hands in front of me to show you how sane I am? I'm very sane. Now, excuse me, I am going to put myself into a glass chamber and have John blow oxygen on me.
So they finally hang up, and John's like, well, I need to blow my nose. And she's like, here, use this. And he goes, God, the amount of tissue you use is unprecedented. And she's like,
I'm easygoing.
Like full head back cracking up.
Yeah, it was like a weird thing of like, look at how much fun we have together. Giving each other tissues. Yeah,
basically, this is what I learned. Shannon Bedore is hoarding all of the COVID tests, which is why nobody could get one, and all of the toilet paper, which is why nobody could get it. Okay, it's all at Shannon's house, everybody. Go get her!
So now Gina and Bronwyn are talking, and she's like, you know what? I think that you should reset. Maybe you should see your bedroom, okay? And then maybe stay in there for like 24 hours or something like that. What do you think?
And Bronwyn's like, well, I'm like feeling everything now because I don't have anything to numb it out. She's like, well, let's go to your bedroom. Oh, yeah, I'm not staying here. I'm going to stay at the resort, okay? I go to bed at 10. You guys party.
Yeah. So, Bronwyn starts telling us like about how like the partying goes, it goes up, 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 and then it gets to like mushy, and then it gets to crying, and she wants to leave at the peak.
And so Gina's like, well, how's your marriage since you're sober? I'm like, God damn, Gina. It's like you're trying to calm her down, then you're like, let's talk about your marriage now.
So shows she's like, so Bron was like, well, Sean and I haven't had sex in a very long time. I mean, we're basically passive aggressive roommates. I mean, we haven't had sex in like 3 weeks. I mean, it's crazy. I may have to leave him.
Yeah, and then we see a clip of them at home and Sean just trying to be like nice and laid back, and it's making Bronwyn fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So she's like, well, we both thought that we were maybe going to get a divorce, but we had a talk and we decided that we're going to put the work in and we're going to do all that we can. And Gina tells us, I'm not surprised. I mean, I kept thinking at that vow renewal, how sterile it felt. And then we see the vow renewal where the drag queen's like, hey, let's do your own vows. Bronwyn, why don't you start? And she's like, it's been a really long 20 years.
Yeah. And then Gina's like, well, you know what? Even though he enabled you in his eyes, that's love. You know? And Bronwyn said, yeah, well, I asked Sean why he never took the kids away and left. And he said that he was worried that she would die. And then she's like mad at him about that, I guess. I guess that maybe she feels like he hurt the kids. But like, I don't know. It seemed like a nice...
Yeah, this is...
I was like, it seemed like that was a nice thing for him to make sure you didn't die.
Yeah, it gets really complex with her because I'm not really ever sure what she's saying. And I'm sure it's just because she's changing her mind so much because she's going through it all at one time. Yeah. But yeah, one minute it's like he's the bad guy for enabling her. And then the next minute it's, I don't know, it's just all over the place. So then Emily is, we go to Emily and Shane, and Shane's in bed and he's really, really sick. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so Shane? And she's filming him on the phone, of course. She's like, Shane, how do you feel? And he's like, sick.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I'm just doing my midday lunchtime check-in. He's like, well, then where's my lunch, huh? King of...
No, I mean, I do it like during my lunch. So, hi, I'm checking in. Just had a tuna sandwich.
And she's like, well, I mean, I could text your mom and bring you ice cream, but that would make you a mama's boy. And his face is like, wait... Are you going in on me while I'm sick with COVID?
Yeah. And she tells us, I have to give him credit because he really does keep his sense of humor no matter what. And then it's like clips of Shane being hilarious. And he burps at one point and he goes, is that a symptom?
King of
no.
COVID cast.
So yeah, it's stressful.
It's stressful.
We're laughing. But it is funny that they put together a little funny Shane segment. Yeah.
I actually felt really bad for Emily because she was saying how she basically has to take care of the household, but she has COVID too, and she's like exhausted. I don't know. It actually made me feel bad for really everyone out there who is like trying to maintain their family and just like take care of their family while they themselves have COVID. So to all of you guys out there who are struggling with that, like, sorry you have to go through that. And
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So then the girls back at the lake are going down the long stairs to go to the lake, and they're going to go swimming, and Gina's really afraid of the water, right? I'd rather camp with the bears.
Hey, go on, there's a dirty Band-Aid over there. So
that's so Lake Arrowhead.
What's the artist? The artists have, what they do is they cut themselves.
Artists bleed, all right? Artists bleed.
Wait, did someone leave a dirty Band-Aid here? Unbelievable. Hypocritical.
So she says something like, wow, look at that. It's a tree. And Kelly's like, God, I love it when people laugh at their own jokes. And she's like, I hate that. And then we see clips of Elizabeth just laughing at everything she says.
Everything. I didn't even realize, but now I'm always going to notice it.
I know, but I can't. I'm really not one to throw stones, no. Okay? I live in the laughing at yourself house. Yeah. So I will not throw stones. So Gina is like, yeah, Bronwyn does that too. And Bronwyn goes, I do? She goes, well, not lately. I mean, you're not telling many jokes lately. Okay, you didn't take that well. So let me rephrase it. What I meant was you're way funnier when you're sober.
And then Kelly goes, I liked her better when she was hammered.
And Brahma goes, well, I like me better like this.
Yeah.
And she tells us to say that to someone in sobriety is messed up. Kelly is a fucking asshole.
What else is new? So then Bronwyn is now Bronwyn's paddleboarding. So Kelly obviously is like pissed at Bronwyn, and so she's being really passive aggressive. So Bronwyn's paddleboarding, and she's just standing on that board and moving along. And Kelly's like, oh wow, because they're like, oh wow, look at her, she's so good at it. She's like, well, I'm good at it too. She sucks. Look how slowly she's going. She sucks. Watch me do it. I can do it. And then she just falls in the water.
Elizabeth says, karma's only a bitch when you are, Kelly.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Fantastical. Falling off a paddleboard, Kelly, off a paddleboard.
I think I'm going to just say that with any time for every Elizabeth scene now. Unbelievable. Hypocritical. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. On the paddle border narrow head, they tell you once in time, you better paddle or you'll run out of time.
Karma's only a bitch if you are curly. Unbelievable. Hypocritical. Okay.
So Kelly calls Shannon, okay, and Bronwyn's getting out of the water and kind of walking around where Kelly is, not knowing what to do. And Kelly is just fully yelling into her phone. She's like, I wish you were here because it's been a shit show. I mean, Bronwyn comes on all frazzled and upset, and you know, like she's not drinking, and then we got into it. It's like she does things for self-serving issues and it gets to me. And then Bronwyn's like standing there just listening to her, and Shannon goes, oh, and you don't think she has good intentions? She goes, no, I mean, I don't think it's ill will. She just walked away. I'll call you later.
Yeah.
So she doesn't hang up when she sees Bronwyn standing there because she doesn't want to feel her to feel bad. She stops talking when Bronwyn walks away so she won't hear.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get some more fun and games with Elizabeth trying to teach Gina how to paddleboard, and they fall in the water, and Gina's like, I always think the Kraken's coming for me, okay? I'm like, listen, Gina, Vicky is not coming back to this show. You have nothing to worry about.
So then no music, and we're at Emily's, and then things get really dark, and she's sobbing because Shane isn't getting better, and he can't breathe, and now she's really scared. Yeah. And so she's trying to go to the hospital, take him to the hospital, but she's got the kids, and it's really, really sad.
I watched the scene with like a pulse oximeter on all 10 of my fingers. I was like, oh no, my hypochondria really flared. So then it's really serious and it's very scary. And I actually think it was good that we saw that, so people really see how dangerous this is. So then Kelly, then we go back to Arrowhead, where there's no danger happening whatsoever, except in the kitchen, where Kelly's like, are you guys okay with salmon? Because they're going to cook salmon because they can't order in food, etc. COVID. So they have to put on the check cashier place visors to cook their food. And they're like, oh my God, I can't see. Oh my God, I can't see through this at all. Oh my God. It's like it's impossible to see.
And then they realize that they've left the film on. So they take the film off. And Gina's like, oh, that's bad. I thought it was like frosted.
So they're all cooking. And like, it's just funny because Elizabeth, Bronwyn, and Gina have no idea what they're doing in the kitchen. And Kelly's like, how do three women go through life and not learn how to cook? Like, I love that Kelly was like the one who knew how to cook of the group.
Yeah. And then we cut to Elizabeth flattening dough with a wine box.
Yeah. And just, like, dropping shit everywhere, and, like, a whisk goes flying.
She's like, God, I need a drink after this. I'm going to go closet drink right now.
And Bron was like, well, 45 days in quarantine, I was keeping wine at the house. And then one night I found myself, it's like 11 at night, and I found myself standing there in the garage, just staring at the wine. And then we see a clip of her in the garage, taking out the wine out of the fridge.
And throwing it out. And then, and then we go back to the kitchen in Arrowhead, and Kelly's doing the dishes. She's like, "Why am I the one doing the dishes?" So Bronwyn calls Sean, and he like doesn't answer. So then she has to call one of her kids. She's like, "Hey, honey, hey, can you put Daddy on? Okay, hey, honey, what was the one thing I asked you to do? I asked you to have your phone on, so if I call, I shouldn't have to track you down, okay?" And he's like, you know, I'm putting the kids down to bed, right?
Yeah. What's the one thing I asked you to do besides take care of our 7 children and feed the 7 children and be on call for me every 5 minutes? And so he's like, well, I'm here. It's like, no, you're not. I had to track you down. So then she tells us, I mean, there's just so much toxicity. I mean, you don't think like how drinking is a connector with people, but it is. I mean, I can't with these people. I'm in a different place and I didn't have a meeting today and I'm really feeling it and I thought I would be okay and I'm not okay. Which, you know, thank God she has somebody to talk to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine what she's going through is just so difficult.
Because that's a lot to go through. Yeah.
I think it's really, really difficult. And, you know, she's like, I feel like I'm the buzzkill of the group. And it's kind of like, you know, like, no one wants to feel that way in a group, right? But she's also the one who's going through so much shit, and so they are kind of tiptoeing around her. So, like, she kind of is, and then it's like, but then it's for good reason, and then it's just like, I feel bad. I think it's probably a very, very difficult thing to go through.
Yeah, and then speaking of, we go back to Emily, who's now sobbing because Shane is in the hospital, but she can't go in there because family members aren't allowed in hospitals right now.
Yeah.
And so she's not only afraid that he's going to die, but that he's going to have to die alone.
Yeah, which is this episode. Really scary.
This episode is a lot.
So then we go to Shannon, and
this episode is a lot for me to go through.
Yeah, guys. Let's talk about the real victims here. Us. So, so now Shannon's talking to Emily, and apparently Shane was like throwing up blood and was having, you know, and he was having gallbladder issues, and Shannon's like, I should be Shane. I mean, he's a healthy guy. He doesn't have lung issues in both lungs. He has access to Wednesday Lamb. But you know what? I do have those issues, and so this scares me.
Yeah, and Emily says Shannon's been a really good friend to her, and there are two women and two mothers comforting each other, and so they're actually bonding over this. And Shannon says really nice stuff to her, and just basically supports her, right? So then we go over to the house, and Elizabeth is like, well, obviously it would be nice if we were all here together. And Gina's like, yeah, it's really not the same.
Yeah. Oh, Rick's going to wait 10 minutes. Rick's coming on TV in 10 minutes. They're all going to have to watch Rick on TV.
So Gina's like, well, it must be fun for Rick to be moving to a new place. Like, he's got to change of pace. Right? And Kelly's like, well, I mean, he's 60.
Yeah, and then they start talking about how, they ask, what, is he conservative or whatever? And Kelly says, she says
that he has kids. Like, Gina says he doesn't have kids, right? And she says, yeah, he has two kids, but one of them is always calling him conservative, and he's not conservative at all. So it's really annoying because it's like being labeled that, and he's not conservative.
Yeah.
And she tells us, yeah, he just wants to get the facts. Like, he doesn't get political, and he's not conservative in the bedroom. I can tell you that. Penises burning.
And Gina's like, yeah, but he's a reporter on Fox News. And she's like, well, I mean, he doesn't believe that you should rewrite history. I mean, like, tearing down Christopher Columbus. I'm like, so he is political. Which is fine, because everyone's political. Everyone has beliefs, you know? And Bronwyn's like, well, you know, that's... By the way, and who would have thought in the span of a week that we'd have two separate take statue down storylines happening? So,
Bravo.
So Bronwyn's like, well, you know, it's offensive to people. Well, you can't rewrite history. She's like, are you going to tear down Rome? Are you going to tear down the Colosseum? I'm like, who else watching this was just like, what am I doing with my life right now?
I was definitely. What, are you going to tear down the statue of Lucille Ball? I mean, what the hell?
Oh, are you going to take down the Eiffel Tower?
Bronwyn's like, I don't think it's rewriting history, Kelly. Oh, tear down Rome then! Tear down the Colosseum! Just tear down movie theaters!
Oh, you tear down the Great Wall of China? You do that? Way to go!
It's like, and she goes, you have to learn from history. Also, Kelly is just splurting off every line that you hear on the news, you know?
It's like,
She's like, you have to learn from history so it doesn't repeat itself. It's like, and Bronwyn's like, if there are marginalized people in this country that feel offended, then tear it down.
Yeah, we need to respect that.
It's not about me. It's not about white people. You don't destroy history. Statues aren't history. You know, statues are things that sit there and get shit on by birds.
So then Kelly changes it to like, well, you can't go and destroy and loot things, which is really not what they were talking about originally. But it's like, now she's taking it to that place. And Elizabeth is like, well, here's what you should really be doing. You should just put it in a museum. Put it in a museum. And I say, if you don't put it into a museum, you know what I would say? I would say, unbelievable, hypocritical. Shay, put this statues belong in many places, but they don't belong on pedestals in the Central Park.
And Kelly's like, you want the government to tell you how to live? That's a problem. People don't know what it's like to live in a communist country.
Her arguments are so going like left and right and make no sense.
Yeah, she's just spouting whatever she hears on fucking Fox News. Yeah. It's like listening to Sean Hannity in a housewife wig. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn's like, well, I don't think anyone wants to live in a communist country because they take a statue down. And she goes, you don't even know what you're talking about.
She goes, what? She goes, Kelly, you don't let me speak. You never ask me a question, Kelly. She's like, listen, Bronwyn goes, I've never lived in a communist country, but that doesn't mean I haven't traveled and I don't have opinions. And they may not be the same as yours, but that doesn't mean you get to belittle me and put me down. So then Kelly's like, well, Bronwyn is not college educated. She's never had a job. She doesn't know how to pay a bill. She probably doesn't even know she probably hasn't even traveled out of the United States to someplace like Rome, which she apparently wants to tear down.
Yeah, the only time she's traveled outside the United States of America is probably to Hawaii. So then it cuts to Bronwyn's testimonial, and she's like, I've never seen anyone go to Arizona State that thinks they're a Mensa member, except for Kelly Dodd.
Because I'm a minority. I'm a Mexican. So Bronwyn's like, yes, but when you go to a grocery store in a hoodie, you're not worried about being shot. You know, black people are being killed disproportionately by the cops. And so Kelly goes, well, they're bad cops. I mean, I know. They're bad cops.
It's like, that's what we're trying to fix, Kelly. And she goes, well, you're not going to do it by destroying things, Coliseum hater. And Gina's like, I can speak to this because I got arrested last year. I was pulled over, and I have to say, I was never scared about the police officers that were arresting me. And that's called privilege right there, which, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And it drives me nuts when someone says about police officers, oh, well, there's bad apples. It's like, well, why can't you also accept that there's bad apples with protesters too? Like, no one condones looting or destruction of things, so it's like, that drives me nuts that, like, that how that logic does not get extended in both directions. You know, I'm like, oh my god, Kelly.
Well, and also, if there's a bad apple, you take it out of the bunch, or it spoils the rest of the apple.
Yeah, and that's what everyone's fighting for. That's what everyone's fighting for. Take the apples out. Take the apples out, because doesn't everyone remember what Mary Cosby said last week on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? If you have a bad apple, it spreads the rest of the apples on the tree.
Yes, it's a bad tree. Now
it's a bad tree.
Take the bad apples out. That's what people are saying. So Gina's like, you know, like, I realize that the system worked for me, but, like, it may have not gone that way for me if I was a black girl or a black guy. And I'm thinking that there's even a maybe there. That's too much.
Yeah, like it.
And thank you. I was not necessarily expecting that from Gina, but thanks. And so Elizabeth goes, I didn't even know what white privilege was until this year. I was shot. I don't have white privilege. I grew up poor. I mean, what's white privilege as I drive around in my Ferrari?
I mean, I donated my Ferrari to charity. I mean, that's not white privilege. That's white charity right there. Know what I'm saying?
You got to love that Elizabeth can fit a humble brag into her, like, her 1 second of wokeness.
She's like, I don't get all of it. I don't get all of it, but I'm getting there. Like, okay, jeez. That means the movement's working. They even got through to someone like me.
Yeah, and so then the timer for dinner goes off, and Bronwyn's like, well, you know, it does seem to be working because a lot of big police forces are now refitting funds, and this is an uncomfortable conversation, but, you know, it's a conversation that we have to have. And then they eat, and it's silent because it's so awkward in there, and Kelly's just like, it's good, Ryan!
That salmon, by the way, I was fascinated by that salmon. I actually thought it did look good, but it was like huge portions of salmon. And were they covered in cheese or something?
No, they were covered in that dough. She made them like a
Because I was
Wellington, like a salmon Wellington.
Okay, because I was wondering that too. I was like, because that's right, we did see them rolling out dough. That's kind of like a little bit more high level than I was expecting for this dinner. Normally when the housewives get together to make dinner, it's usually like a chicken breast and like steamed asparagus. So the fact that there was like actually salmon baked in a dough is kind of impressive.
Yeah. So then Elizabeth is like, well, tomorrow we could do archery or go on carts when you move them with your feet. And so they're all trying to have fun again because it's been really awkward. And Bronwyn's like, okay, do you need me? I'm going to go. Okay, yeah. I'm leaving. So she walks off, and Elizabeth has to move her car for her. So it's just Kelly in there with she's still in there.
Well, she's still in there.
Yeah, Kelly's... Yeah, I'm sorry. Kelly's pouring a drink, and Kelly's like, do you know how much alcohol is in this? 40%!
That's 40% more of something that you can't drink, Bronwyn! And it tastes like candy, too! Oh.
And Gina's like, I'm confused. Are we going to talk right now or not? And Kelly's like, oh, yeah. Elizabeth's mad that you were digging about her because Emily told her. She told on you.
So, yeah, well, Bronwyn's like, well, because she lied to me. She lied to me. So Gina's like, I think Bronwyn has trouble idling. She needs to, like, she can't just be in that house. She gets up to no good, you know? So Bronwyn leaves.
Yeah, she'll destroy people. She needs to get a hobby that's not destroying people.
Yeah. So Bronwyn leaves, and of course she says, make bad choices for me, just like what I painted on my wall in my nightclub in my house.
Yeah, odd callback to the nightclub in my house. Yeah. And Elizabeth goes, time to party. Just kidding.
She's like, well, I didn't want to confront her because we're having nosh not. So I'm just going to do it tomorrow, doing the whatever that crazy activity is that we're going to be doing. So then Kelly says.
And then Kelly goes, she has two sides to her. There's like the sweet, good side, but then she has this calculating side to further her agenda.
Yeah, and then I don't know what her agenda is. I really don't.
Communism!
Tear down Rome! Hey, I'd like to speak with the ambassador of Italy. You have a real trial problem here, and her name is Bronwyn Windenburg.
So then Bronwyn calls Sean, and he's in bed with Koa, and she's like, oh my god, finally I can breathe, you know? I mean, it turned out I could still enjoy myself, but really wanted to be at home by 10. So then we go back to the lake, and Gina is screaming because there's bugs all over the ceiling.
Bug infestation. And so they go in, and there's like a bunch of bugs. Oh, and there's a spider in there, too.
It's like, oh, yeah, now they're giving me the master suite, this hellhole. Next time we're going to be at the Ritz-Carlton, and I'm going to have to take one of the smallest rooms.
Yeah. And then we go back over to Emily for one last update, and Shane is asleep now. That's all that the hospital's allowed to tell her because of, you know, HIPAA rules or whatever. And so she's exhausted, and she 20 minutes later, she gets a text from him where he says, this is worse than prison, and every hour is like a fight to live. I was like, oh my God.
Jeez. She's like, don't say that, babe. I love you.
It's so scary. And to anyone who is going through that or has loved ones that are going through that, like, truly, my heart is going out to you. Is super, super, it's a super scary thing. And it is sort of like Russian roulette with it.
It is crazy. It is crazy seeing that playing out on these shows. It really is.
It is crazy. It is kind of crazy that Kelly has been sort of so outspoken against, or had been outspoken against masks, just because, like, seeing this happening with someone that she knows, you would think that she might be like, shit, like, we need to be doing whatever we can just to help us, just to protect ourselves and our neighbors. And so it is crazy to see it, but it's also just like, it's a really good reminder. Like, I think that in some ways, coronavirus has become an abstraction for many of us. If you're like living at, if you're at home most of the time and you're trying to quarantine or whatever, it just is like a thing on the news, and that's something you think about. Like, actually seeing someone that, like, we don't know them personally, but it's someone we know from TV going through it. It's sort of like as a really dark reminder of how scary it really is, and how we, like, I just really, you know, hope everyone takes care of themselves and is mindful, and everyone just really, really, really stay safe. Mm-hmm. It's because the numbers are up like crazy. It's very scary right now. So everyone be careful. Take care of yourselves. You know, stay inside as much as you can. And we'll just be here to give you podcasts to make the time go. Don't destroy each other like Bronwyn.
Now's not the time to do research.
I mean,
people,
maybe,
okay?
look up documents on your neighbors, but don't share them with people.
Oh, God. Well, everybody, thanks so much for being here. We sure love you guys. And keep well, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews Sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.